Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome to our listeners. You have become like a family of light to us, and we are delighted to join you every week. As you know, we do our shows in 13-week segments, and during those 13 weeks, we cover specific themes, and then when the next 13 weeks roll along, we have gathered your questions together, and we've grouped them yet again in new themes that weren't previously covered. So today is a very special day. It's our very first one of another 13-week series in which we share the questions to and answers with you that have come in from you, our listeners, and our light family. We have today with us Paul St. John on the phone. And Paul, welcome and thank you for taking the trouble to compile the questions that come into our office. Paul St. John, by the way, folks, for those of you that might be new to the show, he's our office manager in Newport. And so he has access to the questions that come through our emails and fax machines, and from these he's hopefully compiled some really good questions. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Almeen. I hope I have some good questions, too. I think I have quite a few really good ones for us today.
Good.
I'll start in with a big one, which is asking you to discuss with us what actually constitutes the end of duality.
Yes, I'll be delighted to. Duality is different than polarity, so we just need to perhaps start there and make that quite clear. Duality has to do with the separating, for the sake of examining it, or for whatever other reason the infinite being has as its purpose, but to separate the threads of a weaving that really should be one. And so, in other words, it's the separation of that which should really exist as a unit. When you have a tapestry, you don't see it as threads. But if you're going to examine how that tapestry has been made, those threads need to be closely examined. Now, there's wonderful, wonderful answers to this question. I'll start with a simple one. The simple one, and by the way, folks, for those of you that are new to the work, what I usually do is I give information in layers, because I can answer from my highest self, which would give you a very large picture, or I could answer from my higher aspects, if you will, it give you a medium-sized picture, and or from a very small, diminutive perspective, which gives us the detail, which is very valuable in and of itself. So, broadly speaking, polarity is that which pulses between receptive and proactive. Duality, then, is that which is separated that really ought to be one. So a major concerted effort by the Infinite Mother and the Father, which is her first creation, has been made since January of 2008, during the first portion of 2008, so that, first of all, duality can be done away with. So gradually, many things that have been separate and that produced linear relay of information. For instance, we perceive light in a certain way. We are used to it. If we look in the night sky, we are really looking back into the past, because every single star would then have sent its light to us, you know, billions of light years ago, millions of light years ago, etc., a few light years ago. So that's the distances, this is how far back in time we're looking at that star. It could have exploded. It could have gone supernova. It could have gone back into a blue dwarf. It could have done multiple things since the light left the star to strike our eyes billions of light years later. That's an example of a linear, and there's a time lapse of information, a relay of information. So in other words, we're seeing into the past. We're not seeing accurately how that star or planet looks this moment, and for that matter, if it's really even there. That creates linear time. And so you will find that duality and linear time are, it's very closely related subject, because when things are separated out, there's spaces between them. There's lapses between them, and that is linear time. So far, do I make sense? Then I'll continue.
Yeah.
Okay, well, some of the things that Mother changed. She changed the way that information is relayed when, for instance, your finger touches the flame. It is now exponentially known by every cell in the body. The reason is she used telepathy and empathy, which is an immediate way of relaying information. When I am interacting with beings from the hidden realms, which I've compiled much of that information in my books, but it's telepathic. And I hear their language, and then I have the ability to translate the language that is still linear. But now, because of the fact that I have to translate what I'm hearing it in their languages. However, what is happening now is that I'm instantaneously hearing their language, and I'm hearing the English at the same time. So it's a much quicker exponential relay of information since Mother made these changes. So she and Father have been getting rid of that which is separated out. For instance, our bodies. The bodies that I have illustrated in many of the books that have to do with the physical, the etheric, the emotional body, which we film in our aura photos and so on. The relay of information went from one body to the next, and the same was in the cosmos. She's created a unified field for all our bodies. So they all exist in the same place at the same time, and information relay is immediate and exponential. That has happened in the bodies of man as well as in the cosmos. Multiple changes like that have been done to do away with linear relay of information and create instant knowingness and an instant connection between things so that duality can end.
Wow, that's incredible, Almeen. Thank you for sharing that.
Paul, something, if I could interrupt with a good question for myself.
Absolutely.
What's the point, huh? But anyway, the good question for myself would be, why Mother did that in the first place?
Right. Absolutely.
So, at some point, we need to address that. I'm happy to tackle that.
Well, why don't we do it right now?
I don't want to interrupt your train of thought if you've got one.
Oh, well, I was just going to probe deeper into the same question, so this really relates.
Okay.
Maybe your answer to both of them would relate. So I'll ask my question, then you can answer them how you see fit.
Let's do that. Just write it down, because when I'm answering your questions, I forget what we were heading towards.
Okay. So,
what would we next discuss then?
Well, it would just be, you were talking about how the relay of information is now exponential versus linear, and I know that that has a lot to do with the way awareness was shaped previously, and that actually the shape of awareness has changed. So maybe you could talk a little bit more about that, and I think that that has something to do with where you were going about what's
it
the
does.
Point.
It does. Yes. Hmm. Good thinking. Okay, well, there are building blocks in creation. They are what we call the area known as quantum physics. believe me, the quantum physics that is known to humankind is so basically elementary, because they're only looking at the quantum physics that has to do with physical life. But there are, in fact, building blocks that existed in conjunction with the subatomic particles that have been studied. Awareness happens to be one of those. So there are building blocks existing. If you take a look at what is behind the building blocks, there are fields of power, energy, love, frequency, things like that. There are actual fields that exist behind these little particles. Think of it as soup that has vegetables in it. The soup stock or base, the fluid part of it, would be the field. Then the chunks of vegetables would in fact be the building blocks, and that would constitute the soup. But behind the soup itself is the mind of the chef combining things just so. So you cannot really say that it's the ingredients only that make the soup, because there is the intent of the chef behind the soup, you see.
Yes.
So there is an intention of the infinite that can be described as this. Now, for those of our listeners that have sort of, walked this journey with us on these shows, and hopefully have gotten some of my books to at least get on the same page with our vernacular and the way we use terms, hopefully they know by now what an assemblage point is. But an assemblage point determines what reality we assemble, what soup ingredients are assembled. For humans, we have some self-determination in our life, but the reality itself, mother and father have to assemble. So the chef, in fact, is the intention of mother, which moves this assemblage point, which for many eons of existence has been a ball of light, an arm's length behind the heart center in humans, or sort of on the outskirts of what used to be those bodies that were stacked inside one another like Russian dolls that we just discussed in the previous question. So there was like this ball of light, and wherever the placement of the ball of light was, would assemble reality. So if a mystic wants to disappear out of the midst of others, they would shift that assemblage point, maintain the shift, and simply assemble a different reality. And to the people in the room, they would disappear, and for them, the people in the room would disappear. So they would assemble a different reality. The assembling of the recipe of existence is the placement of mother's assemblage point, which is determined by intent. So, now, what does the assemblage point do for the average person in the street? They determine whether you're going to look at the small picture or the big picture. I have said that I can answer a question from different levels. It depends if you think of me as a being as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience, and my roadmap is like a spider web of light that goes throughout the cosmos. I can go all the way out to the limit of the cosmos and answer you from there. That would give a big perspective. Or I can draw out just a little bit. That will give a slightly higher perspective, and it's the way that I would go into altered states, if you will, when people ask me questions so I can get the answers. Or I can answer it from the very analytical part of myself, which is my left brain in this body. The left brain's actual job is analysis. So mother's assemblage point has been separating out the threads of the weaving. to get us to the place of examining how that weaving was made, because some of this thread she may want to replace. She wanted to improve the overall tapestry. But what for us is eons, for mother might be a few hours, that she's been examining by putting her assemblage point in a place where we are looking at the minutiae of existence. And for that, it was necessary to create duality by separating out the threads of that weaving. Paul, let's just take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back to our listeners. And you know something, Paul? That is actually the first time that I've tried to publicly explain, and I won't use the word try, let's hope I was very successful, that I've publicly explained why duality was necessary, which is just fascinating.
Yeah,
but anyway, my friend, just keep going and tell me what your next question would be then.
Well, with such a phenomenal change, taking place, the end of duality, something that has really defined how we view reality for so long, I'm wondering about some other things that's going to affect. Like, for instance, if there's going to be changes in the subpersonalities that you speak about in, I believe it's in Journey to the Heart of God, or perhaps it's in the first book,
yes.
Life of Miracles, but you speak a great deal about those. And I was wondering how the subpersonalities might be affected.
Yes, and of course, in the Ring of Truth, we mentioned the massive changes that happened when polarity was reversed in August of 2006. And
yes.
Some dramatic changes happened then. Because before, these subpersonalities basically represented the vast bands of compassion that were the building blocks of existence, and these vast bands of specific, in fact, what they are, I will be a little more specific because I do write about them in Journey to the Heart of God, but they are concentrated rivers, if you will, of the specific building blocks. For instance, if there is one that has more awareness particles in than light and love particles or life force particles or, you know, physical subatomic particles, those are all different, what you call bands of compassion. They were differentiated in that they had concentrated forms of the building blocks in quantum physics. But to make a long story short, those actually are the nature of the four directions. Previously, we have placed the subpersonalities as characteristics of the four directions found within man. For example, in the South, we had the nurturer, the inner nurturer that inners the various personalities, takes care of the inner child, and so forth. You know, in the West, we had the inner child. In the East, we have the inner wise one or sage. In the North, we have the inner warrior and so forth. So, first of all, in October of 2007, Mother collapsed all space because she found that even though time had ceased to be in August of 2006, there still was a form of linear time in the progression of cosmoses along these loops of space, if you will, you know, and we explain that in a book that will be out by the end of 2008 called Windows into Eternity. But the traveling of the cosmos in a linear fashion of becoming still constituted a form of linear time. So Mother in October 2007 collapsed all space by collapsing the directions. So the sub-personalities were representative of the directions within man. The directions are representative of these vast bands of compassion within the cosmos. That was all collapsed into one. So, to make a long story short, right now, our inner child does not take time out to express while the other sub-personalities go dormant. It's there all the time. The child brings specific gifts, for instance, spontaneity, trust, living with full awareness to the moment the way a child does. Those gifts are not just sometimes coming out. It is constantly there. Our instinctual self, which is the direction of below, oh my gosh, so important. The wild woman archetype, the green man archetype, the instinctual self. It is to live all the time. So these sub-personalities give their information exponentially to all the other personalities, and they all intermingle in one, if you will, expression all of the time. So in that way, yet again, the threads of the weaving are combined into a single tapestry.
That's amazing, because I know how you've discussed in the past how a large part of the spiritual path was bringing all those sub-personalities into harmony. And it seems that as we ascend, a lot of these huge steps were really being helped with.
And you know, Paul, just take a look at what you just said for a second. I mean, if we hadn't separated them out to study them, how in the world can one really know them once they're all intermingling, you know?
Right.
It really brings to bear so much how important duality was when it served its purpose of dissecting things to know the whole.
Yes. Yes, it's really quite remarkable, particularly for those who've been wondering what purpose duality served for so long.
Yes. And I didn't know the answer, you know, till very recently.
Wow. Well, I was wondering, Almin, if you would be able to speak a little bit more about those particles, those subatomic particles that comprise those bands of compassion, particularly in light of, I know recently a new band of compassion was discovered. And if you could talk about those things, however you see fit, that would be wonderful.
Yes. It's not that it really was discovered. It's more that it was created.
Oh, I see.
By working at the quantum physics level. Because, see, it's created by these building blocks being in condensed form, right?
Right.
In other words, it's not the band that creates the small picture. It's the small picture that creates the big one. But, so, you know, you can deduce if there are changes in the band's compassion, therefore, that the minutia, the small little teeny bits, themselves changed. Now, again, to understand what is, we have to go back to the threads in the tapestry. And, you know, I've not understood why, when things that I've written about are obsolete in this moment, why Mother has insisted that those books stay on the market. I've asked her several times. I only recently understood that we can't understand what is till we understand what was. We can't give ourselves credit for what we've overcome if we don't know what there was to overcome. So, all of these things, I mean, it's necessary to look at what was in order to understand what is. So I will have to go back and tell you the way building blocks were. Because almost on a daily basis, Mother has been making changes in them. There were changes made at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time this morning. There were changes made at about 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time around that time yesterday. So, I mean, every single day she's been changing at the very smallest level existence on the big level. And really,
wow.
When space has collapsed, what is small and big is open to question. But let's look at what these building blocks were. We have the subatomic particles. They are the building blocks, and I really recommend that our listeners, you know, grab hold of a pen and paper or something and just jot these down so that it makes a bit more sense when I say what they've become. We had material life's subatomic particles. This is, in fact, where life began from. You know, from six of these particles around a seventh. This is how life began. Subatomic particles come from and yield experiential wisdom. So there's a gift each of these particles bring. The particle of material life, call it the subatomic particle, yields experiential wisdom. It's only in material life where all new information is turned from the unknown into the known through experience. That's why we are truly where life is always new, because it's only here in the physical where all new information is discovered. So, the next building block of existence, I didn't have a name for. I had to give it a name when Mother first revealed this to me, so I called it presence particles. Because I became aware that when we had big bangs and implosions, that these are the particles that were the first to be sucked in to black holes and areas where there were like vacuums in space that formed, which Mother has put an end to. Because it steals these particles from other areas. So it's really a usurping, a phenomena to have zero-point energy. So Mother changed that. So the presence particles, they yield power. The presence particles, my brothers and sisters, is that which keeps the big pattern. So in other words, we have the physical particles, but what keeps it from just floating about in an atomic soup? There's a pattern to it. The presence particles. They are that which keep the cohesiveness of the large pattern. Then we've got the next building block that yields energy as its gift, and it is the life force of the cosmos. Life force particles. Now, that's nice to know, because people bandy about the word of life force without really understanding that it's one of the building blocks of life and what it is. It was a very specific little particle with a shape all of its own. Life force, in fact, was Y-shaped before Mother changed linear to inclusive and encompassing. But it used to be Y-shaped. So then we've got awareness particles. They used to look like a wobbly cross, and I've worked a great deal with awareness, so I've drawn that in the book. Various of the books illustrated it. But it was a wobbly cross. It yields awareness. Then we have another building block that consists of light and love as carrier waves for one another. Light and love yielded light and frequency. So then after that, we have again something I had to coin a phrase for, which was perception particles. It allows perception to take place. so that if we encounter the unknown, we can perceive it for what it isn't and then for what it is. It allows us to know, to perceive. And then there was another particle which allows self-perception. And it was entirely non-functioning in the proper way that it should have been until recently. But it, of course, produces self-perception. Those were the building blocks of existence. We will tell you how Mother has metamorphosed them by joining them into a single particle, but let's just first take a commercial break.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to our listeners. And we were discussing the quantum physics of existence, the building blocks that were. Mother recently combined the building blocks that we mentioned in the previous segment of our program into one. And she did this with the exception of material particles. So the next step, the first step, was that there were multiple reparations to be done to the building blocks we've already discussed, as well as they were formed into spheres rather than into lines. Mother then found that the light components within them and the love components or the frequency components still were not properly communicating. She then created a language that's called the universal language of light and love, in which tone is made visible as light and light is made audible as sound. And so light and love were able for the first time to speak to one another. So the particle's shape were changed to spherical. Some were single spheres combined with fields of light and love in them. Others were two spheres overlapping with the Vesica Pisces, but regardless, they were speaking for the first time between their components. She then took all these building blocks with the exception of the subatomic material particles and combined them into one particle. And this particle was called an omni-particle. It was then, because you see, we've spoken about doing away with duality as in that which is separate being made into one. We have not yet even come to the point where Mother later did away with polarity and how that has affected life. Perhaps we can tackle that on our next show, but the point of the matter is that she had them in polarity, pulsing one another, creating a lot of energy. The omniparticle was pulsing with the subatomic material particle. But she found that it still was not speaking very well to the subatomic material particle. They weren't cooperating very well together. So what Mother then did as a third step is that she took an omniparticle and fused it with the particles of matter. So those subatomic particles that our scientists have been studying have just recently been changed. There's a component to it that is not material, that is more etheric, that they may not be able to detect, but it is entirely a new particle. So now the omniparticle could speak to its own omniparticle part of the matter, you see. So Paul, that was what was changed up till the point when Mother did away with the way that life has been, which is polarity.
Gee, I'm that's new to me. I don't know if it's something that you want to tackle this show, the change, having done away with that, or do you want to leave that for next show?
We can tackle it if we want to. It's a little bit of a heavy-duty show, but our listeners don't have to get all of it. You know, they, it comes in layers. So,
yeah.
Mother has had life pulse, like, between her and father.
Yes.
You know, in proactive and then receptive, and then the one becomes proactive and the other becomes receptive. So she had, at the very minute level, the material particle and the omniparticle do the same. They lived in a state of what is called self-sustaining oneness, in which they sustained one another. Now, you know, perhaps what we could tackle in the next show is what is energy and what is power,
yeah,
and so on. But energy is produced when something pulses between two poles. A lot of our star brothers use this as free energy to propel their craft, because this produces energy when there's a pulsation between, you know, positive and negative poles. However, when polarity as a method of creating vitality and energy in life was seen nevertheless to produce a linear relay of information. Because if, let's say, there's A and B, particle A is material life or its mother, particle B is the omniparticle or its father, whichever you want to say. Let's say the one receives, the other one proactively inputs, you know, the other one outputs, the one receives as an input, and vice versa. Can you see that information is still flowing back and forth in a linear way?
Mm-hmm.
This was still creating linear time. And where illusion comes in is when there's linear time. So after doing away with duality and so forth and so forth, mother and father determined that that still was the case. Now, what they then did is they, after studying it very carefully, incidentally, through the eons, they studied polarity. And they determined that fields would form in which there would be a pulsation within the field, but not linearly between two things. In other words, when you have polarity as a means of creating vitality and energy and life, but it is pulsing with something outside oneself, you are dependent on an external source.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a real quick way to illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So mother has created fields. The particle of material life that has the omniparticle attached to it is in fact the only particle remaining. It's all there is. Now, why then can't we see fairies if they're now made from material building blocks, which we have? They're called particles of manifested intent. Why then, if we're all made of the same building blocks, can't we see a fairy, or can't we see something else? And let me just see for one second. There might be two answers. Hold a second. It is because they are made of the same stuff, but the frequency component goes up one octave. In other words, it's like the middle C on the piano and you play the C above it. It's still a C, but it's one octave above.
I see.
You see? And does that make sense, Paul?
Yes, it does.
So, I mean, that's what separates realms, you know, but
yes,
it's the frequency component. But there is now only one building block, and it's the building block of manifested intent. And pulsation still happens, but it happens within the building block,
That's incredible. I wonder if that will have positive consequences on the amount of addictions that people have.
Wow, that's a profound thought. You're right. Because we've depended on something external, it should create much less. Yes, you're right. I haven't thought of that.
And I guess inherently that would contribute to a greater happiness, since the tendency for people is to seek happiness through external means.
You know, Paul, I know how gentle and kind your heart is, and I know that you have had tremendous concern over the multiple letters from very advanced lightworkers that have been dealing with depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I should discuss that.
That would be really helpful.
Yes, because one would think that now that one's being is your sustenance, and in fact, a never-ending supply of energy and immortality, if you but allow the receptivity and the output, input, you know, to pulse within, that there would be a lot more inner found joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it hasn't been the case. Why? Let's have a commercial break and then we will be right back and discuss that. And I think that would be very helpful.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. And, well, we have stumbled into a very deeply esoteric show this week. It's not always quite this intense, but it's a delight. And I hope that our listeners have been able to hang in there with us. Even if you get about half of the information we've given you, you are far ahead from what is known out there currently. Because some of these events have happened in the last few days. So, Paul, let's get really current with our news. And my brother, part of the instability of the emotions that light workers in particular have felt. I mean, light workers live in the naked truth of self. Because
yeah.
They live the self-examined lives that the masses numb with shopping and television and mindless activities and work, you know, and mindless things that keep them from looking within. So sometimes light workers can suffer more when there is an inner instability. You know, why, when that which was made, you know, put asunder, what's been joined together, so to speak, is there still instability? People seem to think that the Infinite Mother's creations, and it is the Infinite Being is both masculine and feminine, but she expresses more in feminine and has externalized expressions of herself in the Father that is masculine, because she births, she creates, and creation in the form of birthing is a feminine quality. So the Mother of Creation has had the task of making something from nothing. The mistake that people make because of the simplistic kindergarten notion that there is a point of arrival in the form of information and knowledge is that Mother knows everything right now. Yes. Everything that is known to Mother right now. But there are infinite possibilities and potentials yet unexplored. You know, if she knew those, then there would yet be infinite relationships that can be formed from what is known that lie beyond that. Can you see that all of life is relationship? There's the relationship of building blocks that form a body or a stone or a log. The cosmos is formed from relationships. Well, the more relationships you incorporate, the more probable new configurations you can arrive at. It's like algebra. If you just have A plus B is C, that's relatively simple. But now, if you have C plus D is F and so on, and you keep going, now you can start to really have a lot of possibilities. And this is what Mother has been doing with creation. So it's not that creating something from nothing arrives at a point of completion. Now, the important creation that we're going to look at in trying to explain why there yet has been instability is that the Father, Mother has found that creation, when immaculately conceived by herself, is less stable than conceiving them with the Father. Well, the Father has been a work in progress in that Mother, first of all, created Father from the field, from the soup stock we discussed earlier. Then she found that it was not stability. So then she tried, and I know this because of the translation of the records that I put on your desk this morning, that, you know, you can certainly read a little bit to the people from that. In fact, Paul, why don't we do that? Because that illustrates the saga of how Mother has been trying to create stability in Father. I worked on that with the Mother of Creation most of the night. And I was doing an assignment she gave me on that till the minute before we did the show. So I'm right in the middle of it, but that can at least give us some indication of how the struggle to create emotional peace of mind, an inner home of stability in her creations, has been ongoing. Would you mind reading that to us?
Not at all. There's four pages, just four little bits. It's the translation, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. The sacred.
And we have about 10 minutes left, or 8 minutes, so just, you know, keep going.
Okay. So the title is A Conversation Between the Mother and Father of All Life, recorded in the Baranik language. And the English
Baranik language came to us in Bliss,
Yeah.
And was received by one of the masters in my classes, and this was the translation.
The sacred conversation preserved for posterity, and the mother to the father did speak. Long have I labored to make our matter the same, but my endeavors have been in vain. When not from the building blocks of existence made, you do not, my beloved, stable stay. The father replied, the building blocks and their gifts from you came, but not from them are you made. The mother answered, I have tried a field of manifestation from the building blocks, gifts to make, from this the individuation of your being to shape, but stability in you, my husband, was not created this way. Father inquired, what components are in you with which you can make me more stable can make me? The mother replied, seven gifts of the building blocks now the field of manifestation form, but love, praise, and gratitude first should have formed, then the seven gifts and 12 states of being. Made in that order, this should provide the stability not found before. The father implored, let it be so that I be reformed, that I might more worthy be in my being and my form.
So if we can explain this to our listeners before we close, the Bharanik were in fact in charge of a section of ancient libraries called the Mother Libraries. The section they were in charge of is called the Libraries of the Unicorns. The glyphs we have translated, they say that it's ancient, anciently written. Yet a piece of conversation was preserved between the mother and the father in how to create stability for him. And she said to him that he should not be created from the building blocks, even though it makes him more stable, because when he's created from the building blocks, he's not the first creation. And the building blocks are inferior because, as we have mentioned, immaculate conception is inferior. So she made him from the field from which she is made by using the soup stock, power, energy, life force, awareness, light and love, perception, self-perception, and material subatomic particles. She used those, and manifested wisdom. She used those to create a field from which she created him, and then with him created the building blocks, the vegetables in the soup. But father said, what have you got that I don't? Because you are stable and I am not. Please remake me with those components. And mother answers, yes, the field should not just contain those seven things, the power, the energy, etc. First of all, I should have made a field of love, praise, and gratitude. And from then made the seven, which are the gifts, and then made, beyond that, 12 states of praise. This is what the Father has been made of as a field intermingled. In other words, she put more things in the soup pot to make the soup less runny and more solid, more stable. That has not worked as well as we would like. Because the father's stability is not as good as mother had hoped over the eons of time, nor have the light workers been. And the inner well-being, the inner homecoming is not there. This morning, the hour prior to this show taking place, mother had created another 20, and she called it, Paul, you have the 20 there. What are they called? They are the...
Just give me one moment. the states of glory.
States
is that what you're
glory.
Referring to? Yes.
Yes. She put, because we have the states of praise, and then we have the states of glory. Then this morning she put in the 33 codes of creation. And right before the show started, she gave me instruction that there were two more ingredients that had to go in. And the next ingredient that I just started to work on were 54 codes of existence. So we have the 33 codes of creation and the 54 codes of existence. I will just for interest sake, because we do have to close, but I will just for interest sake tell our listeners this. We have been dealing, now we have this image in many of our books, in Journey to the Heart of God, in The Ring of Truth, in we have it in our book, The Gift of the Unicorns. We have it in the book Opening the Doors of Heaven, which is the translation of the sacred material from the Isis libraries. We all of them have a depiction of a rose. There's a center, and then three petals around the center, then seven petals around that, and then 12 petals around that. So when I translated this piece that the Baranek had preserved of Mother's conversation, I went, whoa, that's the rose Mother is speaking of. That rose are the frequency templates of man's DNA. And they are also the emblem of the white magical order of the white rose. And there's, you know, they can go to our website to see the masters of the order of the white rose are in Ireland. And our meetings with them, which is just open to those few that know they should be there, are listed on my website. But this rose, the body of white magic that Mother's restoring to man, it has a mathematical sequence that goes the one in the middle, the three, the seven, the 12, and then there was another 20 petals. And then there were 33 petals, which is the codes of creation. And then just before this program, she told me there's another 54. And I said, Mother, this is close to the Fibonacci sequence, but it isn't the Fibonacci sequence. And she said, no, the Fibonacci sequence is for the life when there is the illusion of duality and polarity. She said this is a new mathematical sequence. And this sequence is the sequence that life is made according to when we are dealing with life before the building blocks. In other words, with higher life. Life in which all things are blended into one exquisite field of glory, to quote Mother's words. My brothers and sisters, it is unfortunately time for us to close. Thank you for joining us. We love you very much. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome. We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.